Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
Last couple weeks, I've been dealing with some things. I spent some time at a meeting in Tampa, and basically, here's my notes for the month. What is love saying? That needs to be our prophetic slant, our utterances. You need to ask the Lord, what is love saying? Sometimes we ask God for a word from somebody. We ask him because he's all-knowing, but I don't think we ask because he's all-loving. That was good. Okay, maybe that was for me. The Lord actually said this to me. The Lord told me that I was afraid to love at the capacity he had already given me. That is where some of my frustration has been coming from. Frustration comes from not being hungry for the divine, but having the divine and not yielding to it. Gee, vulnerability always works, doesn't it? Here's what he said. Before he was known as John the Revelator, he was known as John the Beloved. You know, we're always looking for revelation, but he was known first as John the Beloved before he was known as John the Revelator. Extravagant revelation comes from extravagant intimacy. See, here's some things I've just been pondering. The cross is where God poured out his wrath. All of his judgment he poured out on the cross. So maybe it's not judging. Maybe it's sowing and reaping. When we look at people's lives and we say, oh, they're being judged by God. No, judgment was put on the cross. And I'm telling you, that will change your perspective. But then when you see the collapse of people's lives, it may be just bad sowing and reaping. And so when you approach it that way, instead of being critical and judgmental, all right, I'm preaching to myself, you may want to expose that you're reaping what you sowed. So the cross fixes all judgment. The Antichrist spirit is an anti love spirit. Here's the antidote. Serving the poor or a group that cannot repay you will kill your judgmental spirit. I have a situation in business where my largest customer, in my opinion, needed a little walk with Kathy. He needed a tune-up. And I've been dealing with a situation. He's been railing upon me and Ron and Stephanie, just railing over a situation that I couldn't put my finger on. And we had back ordered some little connecting wires between two under counter lights. And this is a national builder. And so railing, you're going to have to pay my labor. I'm just railing on me to the point where I want to punch him in the head. And there's nothing we could do. I mean, we got to order it from China. And the bottom line is that if we're back ordering, it falls on me. I couldn't put my finger on it, and I got tired of being railed on, so I did some detective work and found out that he shouldn't be ordering that product. And I caught him in a tough spot. We'll leave it that way. And so I made an appointment to meet him at 10 o'clock on Friday. And Tampa, so it's a two-hour-plus drive. I'm halfway there, and he goes, oh, I'm going to be busy. Can you meet me at 1:30? I'm like, no, dude, I'm on my way. So my attitude went from ting. And I had all the scenarios of how I was going to whoop him like a redheaded stepchild. Anybody ever had those conversations in your head? All the scenarios. He's going to say this. I'm going to punch him in the head with this. He's going to say that. And I'm going to prove my point. And then Susie calls and I'm venting because he's trying to push me out on my time frame. And she's like, well, maybe you just have some windshield time with Jesus. I'm like, I don't want no windshield time with Jesus. Right now, I don't, because I had made up my mind and all of a sudden I'm like, she's probably right. I said, Jesus, did you want to talk to me? And boom, it's like he shows up in the car and I'm like, no, not in the front seat. Get in the back. I don't want you looking at me. I said, do you want to talk? I don't want to see you and I don't want you to see me. Why? Because when you're talking to pure love, the reflection that you give isn't always good. And I literally said, get in the back seat. God, who wants to see love when you're mad? What's worse is who wants love to see them when they're mad? So we drove for a while and I pull into the parking lot. Miss Sweet Susie calls me. Well, did you spend any time with Jesus? Yeah. Doesn't sound like it. And so I had a few minutes and I was just collecting my thoughts. The Holy Spirit says, you know, I am Mr. Love himself. And when I have put you in a corner and you've been in error, have I always given you a way of escape? Yeah. He said, give this man a way of escape, see if he'll take it. I'm like, no, I got him dead to rights. So long story short, I kind of put it out there. And I said, you know, I said, I was going to fall on my sword because I was going to have to ask my boss to pay these labor bills because I didn't forecast. But I pulled my files and I don't see that that's the spec. Why are you using that? He knew he was nailed. All the ranting and raving was put on the table. Well, the truth be known, some of my crew has been not wiring it properly, and I was doing this to cover us. I said, oh, so you've been accusing me of being wrong. Well, I'm like, okay. And I heard this, the way of escape. Gave him a way of escape. I go, listen, let's change our situation here. Let me help you fix it. Now I'm helping him. And I realize that's what love does. He gives you a way of escape, and then he helps you escape. I'm like, dang it. So it was a much better ride home. And then I was listening to a football program, and the football season's coming to an end. It's coming toward the end to where the people that are truly going to be trying to play in the Super Bowl, they're positioning themselves. And every one of the coaches, several of the coaches that have been to the Super Bowl many times says, listen, about this time of the season, we don't go after the learning the new plays and learning this. We go back to the basics. In the last four or five games, we will really work on the basics. No penalties, the fundamentals, and blah, blah, blah. And I heard the Holy Ghost say, yeah, why don't you go back to the basics and preach on love? Because maybe you'll get it. So I'm like, okay, I'm going back to the basics. Love. Love is the basics of our Christian walk. So now that Corey's leaving because he didn't want to hear me talk about motorcycles, I've had my Harley for 4 or 5 months, and it hadn't been cleaned and waxed the way I really wanted it. So I took several hours and I washed it and cleaned it, and then I started waxing it, and then I started waxing the chrome. There's a lot of chrome on that bad baby. And I'm just kind of enjoying cleaning. I took the saddlebags, the luggage compartments off. It's easy. I found out they're actually easy to come off. The Lord says, yeah, kind of like Christian life. If you get rid of your baggage that easy. So sometimes you got to move the luggage to get to the frame that's chrome that you want it to shine. You can't shine it with so much luggage, so much baggage. So I had pulled that off. I'm going, oh, that's really cute. This is going to be an interesting message. And so I'm waxing it, and I look up on underneath this because I'm on the ground, and I find these two controls back on her back seat. She can control her volume on her headset. She can change the channel. I never saw that. Yeah, and the Lord says, isn't it amazing when you actually start cleaning something, you find that it actually has some attributes that you need, kind of like the Christian life. When you get down on the ground and get down to where you really want to clean something, polish it, have it. And she's like, I didn't know that. I didn't know that either, baby. So now, you know, we get all this clean, and this thing is hopping pretty. And I'm like, I don't want to ride it. It's going to get dirty. But it was born to be ridden. And the Lord says, yeah, it's kind of like you. You were born to be ridden. You were born to go out into the world. You were born to do these things. And if you're so impressed with how clean you are and so afraid of getting dirty, I can't use you. So we went for a ride. We went right. It was actually 99.8 miles. We went for a big ride and went to dinner and got home last night. and found a place to eat, and she didn't like the food, so we wrote that place off. We won't go there anymore. But I get home, and it's a 100-mile ride, and I looked at the shiny chrome, still shiny. I looked at all the things that were shiny, all the things that were had been cleaned, but there was some bugs and stuff on the windshield, and I just went and cleaned it. He said, son, when you go to the basics of love, that does all the deep cleaning. And when you get your windshield a few bugs, he said, that's the morning prayer. See, the morning prayer cleans the windshield. And so this morning I want to talk about what love is. And I believe that the Lord is calling us to love. If you cannot love by your standard, you cannot live by it either. If you cannot love by your standard, see, some of us have become so religious on what we think holiness looks like. We've become so religious of what we believe God is pleased with that we actually hold a standard of self-righteousness. And we become judgmental and critical. When the standard and the basics is you have to love. And so I've had some conversations. I had some more this week with one of my bosses who lives a lifestyle that many Christians want to trash her over. And she's wanting prayer for her, I don't know, relationship and babies. And I'm thinking, this is not normal. He says it is if you live by that. I can disagree with your lifestyle and still love you. Yeah, that's right. Okay, I don't have to throw my belief system away as long as love is still love. And I can say the hard things in love, but if you don't think I love you, you're never going to come to get advice from me anyway. So if you can't love by your standard, you can't live by it either. The word agape, it's 208 is the number in the Strong's. It's for the in the noun and a verb form. Come on, work. There it is. What is love? God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That's pretty blunt. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. 4:16, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God. How many times have we been, you know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, let me tell you something. If Christ's in you, love is going to come out of you. So this cannot be just an exercise of Christ in me. It has to be a reality of love coming out of me. And God in him. Hate is what love is not. There's your hard line. Hate is what love is not. Definition of love is 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 8. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, does not boast, is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. I'm sorry for making you ride in the back seat, Jesus. It keeps no record of wrong. I did some counseling, some marriage counseling for some people this week, and there is a book that thick on everything he did already for 13 years. I'm like, dude, you ain't gonna make it. Marriage is the only engagement where you sleep with the enemy. I did just say that, but here's the problem. That's why you can't keep records or it will always be the enemy. I'm serious. Terry, you need to write that down. Love does. It keeps no record of wrong. Love doesn't keep a record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. What does it protect? Love always protects. Protects what? Protect the children from the bad people? Yeah, okay. Okay, but no, maybe love protects your integrity of your heart. Maybe love protects his integrity, his reputation. Instead of exposing it, I cover it. That's protecting. Am I my brother's keeper? If I walk in love, I will be. It always protects. It always trusts. Really? See, this one got to me because when the Lord said, you're afraid to love at the capacity that I've already given you. See, I said, Lord, I need more love. No, I gave you plenty. You just don't want to walk in it. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want any more. Would you back it off, please? Because for me to do it, someone's going to change, and it's me. It always hopes, always perseveres. It doesn't quit. Love doesn't quit. Love never fails. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is patient. God is kind. God is not empty. See, I'm changing the word from love to God. Because if God's in you, I'm just laying out my little game plan here. I'm going to trick you into something. Okay, can you let me manipulate you? Is it manipulation if I tell you ahead of time? If God is in you and God is love, and you, if you don't love, you can't say God's in you. How many believe God is in them? Okay. Good, I got you hooked now. So God does not boast. God is not proud. God is not rude. God is not self-seeking. God is not easily angered. God keeps no records of wrong. God does not delight in evil, but rejoice in the truth. God always protects. God always trusts. Really, did Lisa feel like God always protects when she got whacked? See, the problem, if you don't believe God protects, then you'll go into negativity instead of thankfulness. There we go. You know, I mean, Rodney preached on the Job experience. Listen, Job got released from his captivity when he prayed for his friends. that were knuckleheads. God always hopes. God always perseveres. God never fails. You've had no problem. The love thing, okay. The God, you don't have any problem with God fulfilling these attributes, do you? Click, click. And we know and believe that God, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. He who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Now, take this, put your name there. Amber's patient. Corey's kind. Charlie's never rude. Charlie avoids his own agendas. Charlie's not easily angered. But when he is, Susie keeps no record of wrongs. Debbie does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Pastor Mike always protects. Karen always trusts. Diana always hopes. Hope is faith at work when doubting would be easier. Let me say that again. Hope is putting faith to work when doubting would be easier. Luke always is persevering. And you never fail. Mark 12:30, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. This is no commandment. There is no commandment greater than these. My neighbor across the street is battling stage 4 cancer. I was there last night, and I'm pondering this, love my neighbor as myself. And we got into a conversation, and he's third stage of chemo, and third round, and his body's starting to show. He's lost his hair, and he's lost his buffness, and he's weak. And love your neighbor as yourself. And we got into conversation. I said, bro, I'm praying for you, but I'm glad it's you and not me. And he goes, well, I expected you to say that. And so we got into this conversation. I said, it's hard. I said, listen, I said, here's the bottom line. I if anybody's going through it, if one of us have to flip the quarter, I'm glad it's you and not me. No. No, but here's the bottom line. I said, nobody would want that. I said, and I told him this scripture. I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself. I don't want that. Because I asked, how are you feeling? I'm really tired. I'm really this. And I said, well, if I was you, I'd feel the same way. But I'm not you, and I'm not going through what you're going through. So the only thing I can do is pray for you and encourage you. And the reality is, I don't want what he's going through. But that doesn't mean I don't love him. The reality is, you would be foolish to try to take on his sickness and disease when Jesus already did it at the cross. Now that's love. There's probably not a time I get around I don't leave when I shake his hand and I pray for him. I mean, they introduced me as their pastor. But I don't want to be him right now. Thank God I'm not going through that. And I don't want to have to get an anointing because I went through it. I'll just take it that the cross always handles it, but I'm going to love. But the bottom line is we have a good enough relationship where he didn't get offended. We laughed. And the problem is we think that's not love. No, love is Jesus Christ died on the cross. He took away the sins of the world, and he got an atonement for your healing. And that's what we're believing. I said the doctors and the chemo and all that is on the same side of life, not death. We're going to continue to speak life until we see a clean record. Love your neighbor as yourself. I do. Me don't want none of that. And don't get the Messiah complex. I'm trying to dig out of this hole I just got into. What am I saying? The Messiah complex. When your mercy gift gets out of balance, then you will want to take on someone else's sickness instead of releasing healing. Do you hear me? You don't want to take on their sickness. Why? That's already been dealt with. What you want to release is Jesus Christ and the healing atonement, and love them enough to tell them the truth that God loves them and that God wants to heal them. And here's the fact. Here's what the scriptures say. Here's what he says. But you don't want to take on their sickness. Jesus already did that. And that's my point. Okay. Am I out of the hole? Did I survive that? When did this church become politically correct? John 13:34. A new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Command. These are all commands. 15:12. My commandment is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Here's some of the problem when I went through that. The reason why he said he gave me a greater capacity to love, and I don't want to. So I was asking for more love. No, why don't you use the capacity I've already given you? Why don't I? Well, I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to get rejected. I'm tired of praying for people and them not getting healed, and you making me look foolish, God. I'm tired of praying for my neighbor across the street and not seeing instant results. Oh, so you have that big of an ego that you have to get the credit. Yeah, walk around and nip with this brain once in a while. John 15:17, this is my commandment, love each other. 1 John 3:11, this is the message you heard from the beginning, we should love one another. We've heard this from the beginning. And we struggle with it. Romans 13:8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Listen, we can have everything that law promised through Christ and walking in love. And there's a lot of promises in the law. The problem is we're trying to throw everything about the law away when it's been fulfilled in Jesus Christ and it lives in you, and everything the law said you could have, you have in Christ. Galatians 5:14, the entire law is summed up in a single commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. James 2:8, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. Love must be perfected in us. The word perfected in Strong's is 5048, Tally-ho is my description of it. That's Greek. To complete. It means this. I know that much. To complete. Accomplish. Carry through to the end. So what was he saying? The work that I've started in you, I'll finish. But let me tell you something. Go back to my frustration. But having frustration comes from not being hungry for the divine, but having the divine and not yielding to it. You understand, if you got God in you, you got all the love you need. The problem is we don't yield to love. To carry through to the end, bring to a successful conclusion, to reach a goal, to fulfill, to bring to maturity. Love, God wants to bring us to maturity in love. A perfecting, truly made complete. 1 John 2:5. If anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made perfected in him. This is how we know we are in him. Listen, we've taken the grace message to the point where we've thrown obedience out the window. If anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete. Just take that. If God's love will not be completed in you until you obey the things he's telling you to do. I got so much automation on this thing. 1 John 4:12, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made perfected in us. Come on, baby. Spirit must help. We must make change. Galatians 5:20. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit. If God is love, okay, then the fruit of the Spirit is love. So love is the fruit. It is the harvest of having the Spirit is love. So how many, I'm Spirit-filled, tongue-talking, Pentecostal Christian. All right, I got one, Kathy, she'll tune you up. So here's my problem with Pentecostals, that they walk around like they've drink vinegar. I'm full of the Spirit, and they're mean as a snake. You've heard me say it. Pentecostals are mean in two languages. That's not what we're supposed to be. I'm seeing a blank look. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Really? Well, we've had a lot of laughter. It's always been pointed at me this morning. That's sarcasm. That's not joy. Peace, patience. I've struggled with patience. I've struggled with my lack of peace. Peace is not a feeling. Peace is a person. It's not a feeling. Peace is a person, and it feels good. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Yeah. Susie and I had self-control this week. We've been eating a special pizza at this pizza joint. And we had self-control, and we said no for the third time this week. Yeah. So this restaurant we were at on the motorcycle, she's like, you know, we could have gone and had that pizza that we like. Self-control. Against such things, there is no law. What does that mean? In other words, if there's no law against, if you walk in the Spirit, these attributes of the Spirit, the devil can't touch you. The devil cannot mess with you if you choose to walk in love. You'll have joy. He can't steal your joy. He can't take your self-control. There's your diet plan. I tried the keto thing. It ain't working. And that's a scam. I spent $200 on those keto things, and it ain't working. And the happy copy ain't making me happy either. And this is what the Lord said. Why don't you get full of me, and maybe some self-control will make you quit eating like a crazy man. There's your diet plan. Go pray. Go yield to the Holy Ghost. And Pastor Mike, Mr. Fit, he's going, amen. I'm like, be quiet. All the fit people are going, yes, brother. But seriously, if we'll pull on the things of the Spirit, we'll have the things that we're trying to get artificially. Did I start this message off with, this is really about me today? 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. Really? So after my little meeting Friday, I decided to, where's Susie, award myself with a filet mignon for lunch. So I went to... So I ordered me a filet mignon and a load of baker tater, and the sweet tea was so sweet it was sinful. So I asked him to, you know, self-control, would you put half and half in this? That was my self-control of the day. And see, it's because he's messing with me on all these things, and it's called comfort food for me. When I get stressful, when I lose my peace, I eat a lot. And when the credit card bill hits, she thinks I took someone with me. Nope, that was all me. So. Anyway, what? Good. That makes me feel better. God always protects. So I got my pad out. I'm having lunch by myself, and I'm doing my thing in this. These things keep popping up. Like, oh, did you have self-control? Yep, I only ordered a 10-ounce. Did you have to load the back baked potato? If you're going to have one, that's where you got to have it, God. I sent the tea back and got half and half. And I'm convincing myself, and I'm under the spirit of conviction. He said, how did you start your morning? I told you to use me today. And I said, I want to know what love is saying to people. He said, okay. He said, your waitress. She used to do flags in church. She used to do art. And she's hit a roadblock, and she thinks she's too old, and I can't use her anymore. If I keep eating, I'll be my enemy. So she comes up, and I said, hey, you know, you see, I'm kind of doing my little devotions today, and the Lord's been speaking to me. I said, I think I got a word from God for you. I said, did you used to do flags and dance and arts and church? And she starts, yeah. I said, why'd you quit? Well, my real desire was to the arts was this. And it just happened. I'm like, why don't you continue to do it? And she says, I don't have an excuse. I said, well, let's take our excuses away. Are you going to church now? No. I said, there's your problem. She starts weeping. I said, God's not mad at you. I said, that burning in your heart is a gift that he put in there. that you've allowed to go dormant and has turned painful. And all she got to do is yield and say, yes, Lord. And I gave her some other personal stuff. And I walked out of there proud of myself. The Lord says, thanks for using your gift to encourage my people. But you need to stop eating that way. He says, do you think one takes care of the other? He's given us the fruit of the Spirit. Here's, a year or so ago, Luke said he was going to start the fat preacher's fund. That's what he's going to call his new gym. Romans 5:5. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, and being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. The word glory is the kabod, the weight of God. And you know, I made a dumb statement about 10 years ago. I should have kept in my private journal. You know, the Lord said, listen, you know, you need to lose some weight. And he said to me, he said, how can I give you my weight when you can't carry your own? And I stupidly said something to Susie. So now that her and God are in agreement, from glory to glory, we are being changed into the image of Jesus. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So here's been my declaration, again, because I'm going back to the basics. I mean, you guys have heard me preach this particular message how many times? Yeah. Have you gotten it? What I'm saying is we have to go back to the basics. This is why you know you take the baggage off the motorcycle and clean the frame and all the chrome and all that. Then you put the baggage back on it. Why? Because it's a container and you need it. But you still got to go back every once in a while and pull the baggage off, pull the boxes off and clean the stuff and know that you've been transformed into his image. And then you walk it out. And every day, your morning prayer, you clean the windshield, clean your lenses, tap into that source one more time. And I got to tell you, Charlie's really patient. Now, this is a lot of faith I'm talking. Charlie is patient. Charlie is kind. Charlie does not envy. Charlie does not boast. Charlie is not proud. Charlie is not rude. Charlie is not self-seeking. Charlie is not easily angered. Charlie keeps no record of wrongs. Charlie does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Charlie always protects. Charlie always trusts. Charlie always hopes. Charlie always perseveres. Therefore, Charlie never fails. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrong. Does not delight in evil. Rejoice with truth. Always protects. Always trusts. Always hopes. Always hopes. It still hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. For some of you, this is the deep cleaning, the washing, the drying, the waxing, then the special chrome cleaner. Some of you actually walk in a lot of this, and it's just a windshield wash. Whatever it is, we got to get back to the basics, or we're not going to function properly. Individually, our marriages, our relationships, our customers, the ones that make you mad. I'm going to tell you, love should be our managing system of our emotions. Love always trusts. Do you know how trusting I am with people? I believe in people that don't believe in themselves. I have a strong gift in that. I can see. I trust. And I trust that it got to Susie's discernment is that person is going to hurt you. I'm like, okay, it's not a big deal. God will heal that. I trust God in that. And she's like, eh-eh. I'm like, no, it's going to be, this is going to be okay. Okay. But then after four or five times that the relationship just collapses on you, it's kind of like now I'm waiting for the other foot to fall. The other foot to come. That's not trusting. We don't believe that he works all things out for the good. But he does. Lord, I'm not very persevering. No, son, that's control. Did you hear me? Control and gutting it out is not perseverance. See, we want to call that perseverance because I don't quit. that there's a fine line on why you don't quit. Why? You're afraid to quit. You're afraid to walk away and do something different that God speaks to you. You're afraid to love that person. You're afraid to take a risk and give a prophetic word. You're afraid that your finances are going to dry up. You're afraid that you're going to not have what you need. But that isn't what love says. And we need to start giving prophetic encouragement through the eyes and the lens of love. Say, Holy Spirit, that's a big list. Which ones do I need to work on? Because I got several of those I'm actually pretty good with. It, you know. But you got to have your list. You work on your list. Susie, I'll work on my list. Throw your record book away. But I'm telling you, as we do, we're gonna see that love is gonna start breaking forth. It's little acts of obedience. I mean, how many like it when they see God go, boof, something big happens? Well, it starts with one small act of obedience, with the prompting of love. He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. He's waiting to give us so much authority and so much power, like the prophet Samuel did. He did not let one of his words fall to the ground unfulfilled. But if you're not full of love, you'll say things that will injure and wound other people. Therefore, he can't trust you with that kind of power and authority. And I believe this is just a baptism of love that I'm asking for, that I'm longing for. It starts with loving yourself properly. Kathy? Come here. Close this out and tune us up.
you know, his idea of tuning up is different than mine. I'd just like to share that a little bit.
Could be my love language is just a little different than yours.
Different, you know. I was talking with Anthony. I was with Anthony at the jail last night. And I was talking about kindness to to the women that were there. And this young girl, there was a woman that came in and she was shackled. She was in her late 60s and got tangled up in the chair trying to sit down. And I watched a young girl come and just untangle her chair and help her get in. That's kindness. That's just kindness. And the Lord woke me up. I had a whole thing to talk about, and he wanted me to talk about that. That happened months ago, that he remembered her, that act of kindness. And it doesn't have to look profound. It is what would the Lord have done in that moment? He would have helped her. He wouldn't have spoke about why she was there or any of that stuff. He would have just helped untangle her and help her sit down. So, Lord, let us be all that today. Let us be those moments of kindness, of gentleness, of hope, of something else to bring to the table that maybe they notice, maybe they don't. But he always sees. He always sees, and it matters to him.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.